There's no doubt about it. This time of the year is a unique, special, specific time. I want us to kind of think back, if we could, to that very first Christmas night. Things were much more different than what they are today. First of all, during that first Christmas, there wasn't sirens going off. There wasn't bright city lights. And it was very, very unique, very, very different than what we would have and what we would experience living in this age that we live in. I find it unique, too, that when the angels went to reveal and to share with the world the Savior is born, they didn't go to kings. They didn't go to rulers. They did not go to the wealthy, to the rich, but they went to the lowest of all, the shepherds. The blue-collar workers was where they went. And they revealed to these common shepherds that the Savior was born. And there's nothing general about Christmas. Christmas time is about specifics. And we see the graciousness of God. We see the giving of God to give His only Son. And don't you allow the commercialization of Christmas to take away the focus of what this time is really about. Don't you allow that to happen. Let me say that the Lord has a specific gift. He has a list. And just as we have a specific list for our children and for our grandchildren, for our friends and for our loved ones, the Lord, He had a specific list too. Would you like to know what's on His list for us? It was the realization of His love for us. He loves us. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Not only did He have His love on the list, but He had His choice on the list. He wants us to choose life. He's given us a way. Finally, what was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, when man had sinned, long before man sinned, God had the plan of salvation. Long before man was created, God knew it would take the Savior, His blood, His sacrifice to redeem sinful man. And when that promise was given in the garden, that it shall bruise His heel, but shall crush His head, all of the world and all of the generations had waited for that time to come. And listen to me, it came on that night. The Savior was born. He's the mighty counselor. He's the His name is Wonderful, the Prince of Peace. And we see that on His list, He has given us His love, His choice, and then He's also given His promise. His promise to redeem mankind. I'm grateful what was given in the Word of God. When it speaks about the Lord, when the angel said in verse 12, "And this shall be a sign to you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I'm afraid a lot of people today want to keep the Lord helpless. They want to keep Him as a babe in a manger. Can I say, He's not a babe in the manger any longer. Others want to keep Him on the crucifix, on the cross, helpless. But He's not there anymore either, for He rose the third day. Amen. He's ascended into heaven, and He's coming again. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. And we see here that we have a specific time, and I want you to notice the specifics of Christmas. First of all, we should notice God's specific love. He tells us in verse 10 of our text, good tidings of great joy to all people. What a blessing. This good news, these good tidings, this great joy of Christmas is God's love for us. You should understand this. No one's ever loved you what God has loved you. No one has ever given for you like God has given for you. And when there's a lot that's out in the world that was flashy and that's appealing to our flesh, let me tell you, the bare bones of Christmas is the love of God. We see here that we give and we receive Christmas cards. We give and we receive gifts to simply state Christmas is the reminder of God's great love and God's great gift. In John chapter 3, verse 16, you know it very well. I think it's probably the most well-known verse in the world. Over the years, growing up, watching the football games, you'd see someone out there with John 3:16. Major League Baseball, someone's out there with John 3:16. Think about it. For God so loved the world. I'm glad God loves the world and not a select few. And He tells us here that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Let's not make that a light matter. That's a heavy thing. That's a heavy decision. That's a heavy gift. I have two sons. I have two daughters. I wouldn't give any of them for anyone here today, much less the world. He says that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him, not just acknowledgement, but casting total dependence upon Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Let me just say, it's everlasting. It's eternal life in heaven with God. God's love is specific. God's love is special. He tells us in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Someone said that Christmas is God's powerful grasp of love through the tiny baby's hands. Christmas love is always wrapped in the unexpected. No matter how or what Christmas is made to be, no matter what people spin it to be, whether it's Big Red or his elves or the North Pole, whatever the world may spin it into be, it'll always be about the special and the specific love of God for mankind. We see God's specific love. But secondly, notice God's specific choice. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This great gift is not just to the English-speaking people. This great gift is just not to the Caucasian man. This gift is for the Spanish-speaking. This is for the Chinese-speaking. This is for the Native American. This is for the world. Someone says red and yellow, black and white. Put them together and watch them fight. That's what happens on this world. But Jesus says red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. And we see here that He commended His love towards us. And we have this specific choice. He says, which shall be to all people. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, we're reminded, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will towards men. Christmas is a special time. It's a specific time. It's a unique time because it's all about choosing. We choose who we give to. We choose what we give. And God specifically and purposely made the choice of giving His Son, and He gave Him to the world. Don't let anyone tell you that God's elected a few to go to heaven and the other to go to hell. That's not the God of the Bible. And by the way, you can't read the Bible and come out with that theology. You have to read some supplement, some man's reading, interpreting the Bible for you to believe that. And God chose to offer His goodwill and all that comes through His Son. That goodwill is salvation. That goodwill is a pardon of our sin. That goodwill is being washed white as snow. And that does not come through the baptistry pool. That does not come by joining this church or any other church. That does not come by hoping your good outweighs your bad, which it never does. We don't need to outweigh our bad. We need our bad, our sin, eradicated. And that comes through His perfect gift. We see here that God specifically and purposely made the choice of giving His Son. He gave Him to the world, and the world received Him not. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was rejected and despised the man. And God chose to offer His goodwill, and all of this comes through Jesus. Listen to me. Salvation is Jesus only. Jesus only. Jesus enough. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, the Bible says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. God at Christmas chose to give away his son. This was his choice, that he might become the light back to God Almighty himself. We're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The Greek word there is basileo. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. By the way, that doesn't mean like the way we use peculiar today. He's a kind of a peculiar fellow, isn't he? That's a good descriptive word for weird. But what God is telling us here is we're peculiar people. We don't fit into this world. This world is not my home. We have a heavenly host. We are ambassadors of God. We're here representing our home country. We're here representing our King, King Jesus. And we're here in a foreign land, this earth, telling them how they too can have their sins forgiven. We see here that Christmas is such a special time, and that God has chosen to give away his son. We are this chosen generation. We are this royal priesthood. We are this holy nation. We are this peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of him. Look what he says. Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I can see because of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Christ, I was blind. Before Christ, I was lost. Before Christ, I was groping about trying to find my way. And the world promises and shouts at us, I'll deliver you. I'll give you joy. I'll give you happiness. I'll give you peace. I'll meet your needs. But the world never satisfies. The world never comes through. It's not until we met the Savior who called us out of the darkness. That darkness, the Bible says there are people who have been blinded by the god of this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ breaks those chains. He sent us his specific love. And it is his specific choice for us to receive Jesus Christ. He gave his son. Every generation will know they were the choice that God made to give to them to Christmas. Every generation, God chose them to give his son so that they too would have forgiveness. We see God's specific love and God's specific choice, but notice God's specific promise. In verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can I tell you, we must all have a Savior. And not just a Savior, we must have the Savior. There's a lot of would-be saviors that have come through the times. There are those, there's those of the Hindu gods, and they have multiple gods. There's Buddha and the Buddhist God. And we can continue on with Muslim gods. We could continue on. There's a lot of would-be saviors that have come up over the years. They are antichrist. They are impersonators. And they are dead and in the tomb. But our God, our Savior, he rose the third day. He separated himself from all the others. Someone said too many promises have been made at Christmas time only to find the regrets of broken promises under the tree. That's not so with God's promise. The promise of a Savior for salvation made good. The promise of Christ for cleansing of sin made good. The promise of the Lord for leading and for direction made good. Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Thank God. We are made fellow heirs through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the recipients of God's specific promise. 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. I know that all of us here have attended funerals, and it might have been some small infant. It could have been some tragic crib death. I've preached those funerals. It could be of some tragic accident through some young person, some teenager. It could be some senior person who's lived a long, long life, and yet they're at the end of life, they give up the ghost. Let me tell you something, friend. Because of sin, we die. And all of us here have an appointment, for it's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. But I want you to know we can, the child of God who has received that unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins have been pardoned, our sins have been forgiven, we've been washed as white as snow. We can look forward because the graveyard is just a way to get to our heavenly home in heaven. Martin Luther said, the mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. I agree. It's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend. God coming to us as us. He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. We saw him as a Son of God walk on water. As a Son of God, he took 2 fishes and 5 loaves and fed 5,000 plus. As a Son of God, we see him heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, to see him raise the dead. And yet we see the humanity of the Son of Man sitting on Jacob's well, weary from his journey. Oh, what a God we serve. We see here that he gave us this promise, the promise of eternal life. And when this life is spent, however we graduate out of this place, let me tell you something, there is a place in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, ye shall be always, or also. That's going to be a glorious time. That's going to be a wonderful time. A time of reunion. Oh, my. We'll cast off this old, broken, beaten down body, and we'll have a glorified body. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are instantly justified, just as if we've never sinned. Now, since we received him, we're in sanctification. Every day, God's working on us and dealing with us, things that we need to cast off and things that we need to cast on to become more of his likeness, the Lord Jesus, to be more of him. But that day is going to come when we cross over, when we cross through, that we shall see him face to face and we shall be as he is. That's eternal life. That's everlasting life. A lady walked up to Dr. John R. Rice. He was up in age and half blind and wore his glasses down like this. And he would shake like this. And she came up. She says, Dr. Rice, can I ask you a question? He says, yes. Go ahead. Ask away. Well, I know my husband in heaven. He said, yes. You think you're going to be dumber in heaven than you are on earth? No one else asked Dr. Rice a question after that, I don't think. Can you imagine? We'll be there. Hey, the saints will be there. I think that our loved ones will meet us just inside the gate. That father, that mother. Oh, I've got a father who's been there now 14 years this coming January. I'll see him again. We'll be reunited. I think of friends that I have. I think of Dr. Ray Hart and the beautiful voice that he was used so greatly in churches across the country and really around the world. I think of many other pastors who have moved on. And I think we'll sit down and we'll be able to talk with those that we have account of. And you think about Peter and asking about what was going on. What were you thinking when you began to sink and you cried out, Lord, save me. And he'll tell us. We'll talk about Paul when they took him outside the gates and stoned him. And I believe stoned him to death. And God brought him back. And the preacher that he was, he went back in and finished this message. I want to talk to Eutychus. He's known in the Bible as a fellow who fell out of the window. Fell asleep in church. Fell out on the third floor. Paul went down and raised him back. And it did say Paul was preaching around the midnight hour, so no one needs to complain. Amen. We see here that we're going to have this eternal life. It's a promise. We have His specific love, and we have His specific choice to give His Son. We have His specific promise to give us eternal life. But then lastly, notice His specific response. God's specific response. In Luke chapter 2, verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." I think one of the dangers of being a Christian is that we just receive information and then just dismiss it immediately. These shepherds didn't do that. They had a great responsibility. They were out in the field. They were there on the hillside. They were there with their sheep. They were protecting their sheep from wolves and from dangers and from being lost. And they heard this great news, these good tidings, and they said, "Man, let's go in the city and let's see what they're talking about. Let's go together. Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass." And Psalm 38, verse 14 says, "Thus I was as a man that heareth not and in whose mouth are of no reproofs." I think all too often we dismiss something that we hear, some great truth, some great principle, something that the Spirit of God deals with us about. And as soon as we leave, we're moved about it, and God stirs us with it. But as soon as we get home, we dismiss it, and we lose that seed that's been lost. Yes. You see, God's coming to us. God's coming for us is something special. We're must make the response of coming to Christ important at Christmas time. We must make the response of worshiping Christ at Christmas time. These disciples, they responded. They went and they said, "Let's see what's taking place. Let's take what they said to us." And we too are accountable for the words that we hear from God, from His Word. Let us be specific in our response on how we love. Let us be specific in our response and what choices we make or how we live in the promises of God. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." What kind of gifts do you plan to give? I don't think it's inappropriate to give gifts during this time. I think that God, He set the standard of gift-giving at this time. I don't think we could ever give a gift like He's given. But I think there are some gifts that we can give. Some gifts you can give this Christmas are beyond your financial value. Perhaps you should give the gift of mending a quarrel. What about the gift of dismissing suspicion? What about the gift of telling someone, "I love you"? What about the gift of give something away someone could use, someone could need, and do it anonymously? What about forgiving someone who's treated you wrongly? What about turning away your wrath with a soft answer? What about visiting someone in the hospital or the nursing home? What about apologizing and begging someone's forgiveness because you were wrong? What about being especially kind to someone to whom you work with? Give as God gave to you in Christ. I thought about this message, and I think the greatest way to close is to share the benefits of this greatest gift. For God gave His Son, His only begotten Son. He descended so that we might ascend. He became poor that we might become rich. He was born that we might be born again. He became a servant that we might become sons. He had no home that we might have a heavenly home. He was hungered that we might be fed. He was thirsty that we might be satisfied. He was stripped that we might be clothed in white. He was forsaken that we might be found. He was sad that we might become glad. He was bound that we might be set free. He was made sin that we might be made righteousness. He died that we might live. He came down that we might be called up. The greatest gift. I love this time of the year. I read these passages of the shepherds and the wise men and the angels, and the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the joy of the Lord spills over in my heart. We have much to rejoice over. I ask you this morning, have you received that gift? Back in 2014, Debbie and I were in Ireland. We were in Dublin, Ireland, and I was preaching a missions conference, and then we went up to Belfast, and I preached in a family conference there. And there was a family in the church there that we knew quite well, and we had been there to their church before, prior to this meeting. And his mother, who was not a believer, she lived in Australia, came to visit. And that night, we were invited over to this dear lady's home, who's a member of the church there and very faithful, godly woman. She invited this visiting Australian woman to come over as well. And we were enjoying the fellowship, and we had a marvelous meal at her table. And then after our meal there, she said, "Y'all, please, we'll fix some tea and retire to the living room. And I'll just pick up some things here." So Debbie and I and this visiting Australian lady, she came with us. And she turned to Debbie and she gave her this beautiful porcelain piece that your tea bag hangs on and hangs outside of your cup. It was gorgeous. Debbie thanked her for it and hugged her. And then I asked her, I knew she wasn't a believer, and I asked her, I said, "Do you know Christ? Have you received Him as your personal Savior?" She says, No, I've not." And I said, "Wouldn't you like to?" And she says, "Well, quite frankly, I don't think that I'm bad enough to need Him." I'd heard that too often in my life. And I said, "You know, the Bible refers to Jesus as the unspeakable gift from heaven." I said, "May I ask you, if you just gave a beautiful gift to my wife, how would you have felt if she'd said, 'Oh, no, I don't think I have any need of that'?" She said, "Well, I would have been offended." And I looked at her and I said, "How offended must God be to give you the greatest gift the world's ever had and you don't feel like that you need it?" I said, "Won't you come to Christ?" And she looked at me and she says, "You know, I've had several people speak to me about my need of Christ, and I've never accepted Him. But I sense that He is ever present here. I've never sensed like this before." I said, "Oh, He is. He is present. He's here." And He loves you dearly. He desperately wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And she says, Pastor, you've given me much to ponder about, and I will ponder over this. I've never, ever sensed, I said, what you're sensing is conviction, your need of Christ. Why don't you receive Him? No, not tonight. We went up from Dublin up to Belfast to a family conference. Dr. Wayne Van Gelderen was preaching. And Dr. John Van Gelderen, his younger brother, was sitting beside her. And Brother Wayne preached such a wonderful, marvelous message. And we dismissed to go down to where we were going to have lunch. And John Van Gelderen sat there and talked to her. And she came to Christ. What was really a delight to me was she said, I must find Pastor Savage, for he started this last week. And she came to me, and this is her words. She said, Pastor Savage, I told you I did not think that I needed the Lord. Oh, how indeed I need Him. So much it took three pastors, you, Pastor Wayne, and Pastor John, to help me get saved. And we laughed over that. Can I tell you this? Don't reject that gift. Don't think you're going to heaven because your mama sings in the choir, she signs for the deaf, or your dad sings in the choir, your dad's a deacon. If you have Jesus, He makes a difference. You say, well, listen, I'm a teenager. I have plenty of time for that stuff. Listen, I was a teenager too, and I started preaching when I was 17. He made a difference. I could have been John Dillinger or John the Baptist, and God won out. Would you stand with me? What decisions do you need to make this morning? I've heard this some. I've heard people say over the years, we're not going to have a good Christmas. We haven't any money this year. Can I tell you? You can have an outstanding Christmas if you don't have two nickels to rub together. Because Christmas is not about the commercialization of toys and trinkets and clothes. It's about loving God who gave His only Son. Father, help us today. Help us to truly rejoice. Truly, it's been said, and it's so true, Jesus is the reason for the season. Help us not get bogged down in the worldliness and carnality. And we know it's fine to give gifts and fine to give cards. But Lord, that's not what it's about. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing your Son. Thank you for multiple promises, but especially the promise of eternal life in a heavenly home. Help us to respond. Help us to take these things that we have seen and publish it throughout the world. Help our young people. I know kids are kids, but help them. They're smart enough. They're bright enough to know that Christmas is not about Legos, and it's not about pajamas, and it's not about electronics. It's about Jesus. And Lord, on that first Christmas, those lowly shepherds out in the field protecting their flocks, that's who you went to and revealed yourself to. Oh, how encouraging that is to us. For salvation's not made for just royalty and for the wealthy. It's to the world. Help us to come and bring our burdens. May we be people that use the altar, meet our needs. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here this morning and say, Pastor, if I were to die, I'm absolutely, positively sure I'd go be in heaven with the Lord. Would you raise your hand as an acknowledgement? Raise it high. Oh, how wonderful. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Is there one or two, perhaps, is there someone here that you struggle with that? Sometimes you think it'd be okay. Sometimes you think you're going ahead, but then other times you doubt. And the devil has you in turmoil because you're constantly doubting your salvation. Anyone like that will raise their hands and say, "That's me, Pastor. Please pray for me." By the way, that was me for 5 years. I understand what that's like. "Pastor, I struggle about knowing for sure I'm saved." Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. "Well, I'll not pick you up. I'm not come to you. I just want to pray for you." Anyone? Now, you're here this morning, and God's spoken to your heart. Maybe some things were clarified about this specific time of year. God's specific love, His specific choice, His specific promises. These things. And maybe you should come and dedicate yourself to Him afresh. Listen, He's worthy of our all. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Lord, thank you. I sense your presence and your power. Lord, we love life. We love this time of the year. But what a blessed time it is as we focus on the greatest gift ever given. Bless in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. God's spoken to your heart. You come this morning.